Welcome to The Deep Dive, the show that takes the source material you need and, well, distills the absolute critical insights. If you are operating in the Microsoft 365 and Azure environments, you know the security landscape has just fundamentally changed. So today, we are deep diving into zero trust cloud security. The old way of thinking, you know, the castle and moat model.
Oh, it's history. It's completely obsolete.
It just can't handle distributed applications, hybrid work, and the relentless credential theft we see today. Our mission for you is simple. We are extracting the precise operational knowledge you need to secure your cloud perimeter and really dramatically improve your incident response.
And we have to start with the core philosophy because it's the necessary replacement for that old perimeter trust. Zero Trust operates on a single powerful maxim: never trust, always verify. It sounds so simple, but it completely flips that obsolete model, the one that assumed you were safe just because you were inside the network. It flips it right on its head.
And this isn't just theory, right? We are talking about tangible results, pretty much right out of the gate. The data shows that organizations that implement zero trust principles experience 50% fewer successful breaches. And here's the real kicker. They contain incidents 73% faster than those still leaning on legacy models. We need to understand how we get that speed, that containment.
We get there because, well, the collapse of the perimeter was inevitable. You have employees accessing M365 from anywhere, their home network, a client's office, that dreaded coffee shop Wi-Fi.
Right.
Every single one of those connections is now outside your traditional control, which makes every access request a potential vulnerability that has to be rigorously challenged.
So that immediately changes the whole conversation. Oh. Instead of asking that easy question, are you inside the office network? Mm-hmm. Zero Trust forces us to ask the necessary one, which is, should you access this specific sensitive resource right now based on everything we know?
Exactly. And that forces us to transition into three core principles for how we actually execute on this. The first one is verify explicitly. And this isn't, you know, a partial check. It demands that you use every available data point, the user's identity, the device's health, their location, and even a real-time risk assessment.
Okay, give us an example of that in action. How does the system treat me differently if it's verifying explicitly?
So let's say you, a known employee, you successfully enter your correct credentials.
In the old model, I'm in. Done.
You're in. But in the ZT model, if the system notices that login is coming from an unmanaged personal laptop in a country you've never visited before, that single data point immediately triggers extra verification, or it might just block the access entirely.
So the correct password just isn't enough anymore.
It is no longer enough. The second principle is apply least privilege access. This is all about minimizing the potential damage. Users get the absolute minimum permissions needed to do their job and nothing more.
You mentioned just-in-time access, or JIT, in the source material. I mean, is that really practical for day-to-day IT work? Doesn't requiring temporary permissions just cause too much delay and friction for admins?
It's absolutely critical, especially for preventing what we call privilege creep. And while it does require some discipline, the system handles the elevation automatically. An admin requests elevated permissions to modify a system, and the system grants it for, say, 2 hours.
And then it's gone.
And then those permissions are automatically revoked when the window closes. It's an easy way to ensure no one is holding on to permanent, dangerous access they don't need, which, you know, drastically limits what an attacker can steal if they do manage to compromise an account.
And the third principle, which I think is the most strategically important, is assume breach.
It really is the foundation of a modern security architecture. If we just assume the attackers are already inside our environment, it fundamentally changes what we build and how we build it.
So you stop obsessing over prevention at the perimeter.
Exactly. And instead, you focus intensely on internal segmentation, continuous monitoring, and automated response systems. It just ensures that when, not if, an incident occurs, you're ready to limit that lateral movement immediately.
Okay, let's unpack this with some practical application. Because if the perimeter is gone, then identity is the new castle wall. We're talking about using Microsoft Entra ID, which was formerly Azure Active Directory, as the true security foundation. This is where we lay down the basics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Multi-factor authentication and those increasingly important passwordless options.
Yeah. And what's fascinating here is how Entra ID becomes this intelligence layer through what are called conditional access policies. This is really the brain of Zero Trust. It takes all those contextual signals we talked about, location, device compliance, sign-in risk, and it uses them to make intelligent decisions in just milliseconds.
Yeah.
So consider this contrast for you, the listener. If you access Outlook from your managed encrypted corporate phone,
the safe device.
The safe device. Yeah. Conditional access looks at that and says, low risk, seamless access, no problem. But if you, the same user, try to download a highly sensitive financial report from SharePoint while you're using an unmanaged tablet on public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's a different story.
A very different story. Conditional access instantly steps in. It might force additional authentication, or it might just deny the download outright. It dynamically shifts the friction based on that real-time risk.
That dynamic friction is so key. But where does the intelligence for those real-time risk scores actually come from?
That's the power of Entra ID protection. It's machine learning that's been trained on billions of daily sign-ins across the entire Microsoft ecosystem. It can spot incredibly subtle indicators that an account might be compromised.
Like what? What's an example?
Well, impossible travel patterns, for one. Someone logs in from New York, and then an hour later, they're logging in from Beijing.
Okay, red flag.
Instant red flag. The system flags that activity immediately. It also looks for the use of anonymous IP addresses, like Tor networks or suspicious VPNs, which are often used to mask an attacker's identity. And maybe most critical, it uses leaked credential detection. It's constantly checking if the password being used has been found in any public breach databases online.
That's just an intense level of scrutiny applied to every single connection. Now, we have to talk about the highest value targets for any attacker, which are always the administrative accounts. If those fall, the game is over.
It is, exactly. And this is where privileged identity management, or PM, is simply non-negotiable. PM protects the keys to the kingdom. It eliminates the ability for administrators to hold on to that access permanently. Instead, they have to request temporary approval-based elevation.
So an admin needs to make a critical change. They request global admin access for, say, 6 hours, and PM makes sure that access evaporates the moment that clock hits zero.
Precisely. That temporary nature drastically limits the time window an attacker has to exploit a compromised administrative account. And when you put all of this identity protection together, MFA, conditional access, PIM, the results are just incredible. Organizations typically reduce their account compromise incidents by a massive margin. We're talking somewhere between 70 and 80% compared to environments using only simple usernames and passwords.
Wow, that metric alone justifies the entire architectural shift. But now that we've locked down the user, what keeps the actual data and the infrastructure safe inside that new perimeter? Let's look at the essential controls for data within Microsoft 365.
First, we need to control the endpoints, the devices themselves, and that's Microsoft Intune Device Management. Intune ensures devices are compliant before they can ever get access to sensitive data.
So it's asking, are they encrypted? Are they patched and up to date?
Exactly. If the device is out of compliance, access is blocked. It doesn't matter who the user is. Second, we focus on the data itself, and this is so critical, Azure Information Protection. This allows you to classify your sensitive data so you can mark financial reports as highly confidential, for example.
And how is this different from just, you know, encrypting a file on your laptop?
Think of AIP as digital handcuffs that travel with the file. The classification applies encryption and usage restrictions, like blocking printing or forwarding, that remain enforced even if the file is downloaded and shared externally, maybe by email or on a USB stick.
So the protection follows the data, not just the network boundary.
Precisely. And third, you need oversight. That's Microsoft Defender for Cloud Apps, which is your Cloud Access Security Broker, or CASB. It watches everything. It detects anomalous activities, like an employee who suddenly tries to download 20,000 files.
Another red flag.
And it identifies unauthorized cloud services, that dreaded shadow IT that your users are using without IT's approval.
That brings us perfectly from the data up to the infrastructure in Azure. We need to reduce the attack surface for our servers and our applications. Where should we start there?
I think we start by taking that assume breach mentality and applying it rigorously to the network itself through microsegmentation.
Absolutely. Microsegmentation means building these impenetrable internal firewalls between every crucial server, VM, and database using what are called network security groups, or NSGs.
Oh.
So if an attacker gets onto a seemingly minor server, a web front end, maybe they hit a dead end trying to get to the back end database because that communication requires an explicit authorized path.
It just limits their ability to move laterally across the environment.
Completely. And for administrative access to those isolated servers, we go right back to the JIT principle, but for the infrastructure ports.
Right. Just-in-time VM access.
Yes. JIT for infrastructure.
Yeah.
This is just brilliant in its simplicity.
Yeah.
Your administrative ports like RDP or SSH are kept completely closed by default.
Always. They only open temporarily upon request by an authorized admin. This one simple configuration is transformative. It reduces the attack surface by an astonishing 90% compared to environments where those admin ports are just always left open.
90%. Wow. That number alone makes it a priority. And finally, before we talk implementation, we have to talk about secrets management. If you're building applications, you just cannot hard code credentials into the code.
Correct. Azure Key Vault is non-negotiable here. It centralizes your secrets management, your certificates, your encryption keys. This eliminates a massive vulnerability that's just inherent in storing sensitive credentials directly in application code, and it ensures they are retrieved securely at runtime instead.
Okay, so now that we've covered the philosophy and the components, what does the implementation roadmap look like for the listener? If you're looking to start this journey, where do you begin?
Zero Trust is methodical, right? Usually a 6 to 12 month project. It is. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And it starts with phase one, assessment and discovery. You have to inventory every identity, every device, and every bit of shadow IT to find those security blind spots. It is amazing how often organizations realize they have critical administrative accounts that are still missing MFA during this initial step.
So after discovery, you move immediately to phase two, the identity foundation. This is getting MFA deployed universally, implementing Entra ID protection to start monitoring risk, and defining those baseline device compliance policies through Intune.
And then comes the heavy lifting in phase three, policy development. You design your conditional access policies, but, and here's the critical warning, you run them in report-only mode first.
So you don't break anything.
You don't break anything. You have to understand the impact on your user base and refine those rules meticulously before you enforce them globally. Otherwise, you risk locking out your entire company.
That makes perfect sense. Report only is the safe sandbox. But what's the biggest thing that makes companies fail at this? What are the most common roadblocks?
The first one is always user experience friction. Zero Trust is intended to protect users, but if your policies are poorly designed and they require excessive reauthentication, people will find dangerous workarounds.
They're like writing their password on sticky note.
Exactly. The goal is streamlined single sign-on when the risk is low, and you only escalate that verification when the risk profile actually changes. The second big challenge is legacy application compatibility. If you have older systems, they simply may not support modern controls like conditional access or MFA. And this forces organizations into some really painful decisions. Do you create dangerous security exceptions for these old apps, or do you prioritize difficult modernization projects?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we just have to be realistic about cost and licensing. Implementing the comprehensive Zero Trust features, particularly things like the advanced identity protection and Entra ID protection and PIM, it requires the advanced licensing tiers, specifically Microsoft 365 E5 or Business Premium. So if you're budgeting for this, you have to account for that reality.
Okay, let's bring this all together. It's clear that Zero Trust is not a specific product you can just go out and buy. It's a process of continuous improvement and optimization. The threat landscape evolves daily, and your architecture has to evolve right along with it.
Exactly. And this means we must change how we define success. We are no longer measuring the quantity of security products we've deployed. We're measuring the quantification of risk reduction, and most importantly, the speed of your response when a breach does occur.
Which brings us to our final provocative thought for you to consider as you wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah.
If you are implementing Zero Trust, you need to establish baseline measurements for metrics like mean time to detect, MTTD, and mean time to respond, MTTR, because these are the metrics that will prove your new architecture isn't just theoretical protection. They will show that it is actively detecting incidents in minutes or hours rather than days or weeks, making a real, measurable difference in your security posture.